appreciate being here this afternoon. Appreciate your prayers. I know Brother Dan mentioned it. You all been going through Pilgrim's Progress, and I'd like to get in on some of that when time's right. I have a little something I'd like to share this afternoon. Pray the Lord would bless it and bless us all. I'd like to turn to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8 says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." I was thinking about this scripture and just thinking about the instruction that we might get from our parents. Our parents are doing what they can to train us up in the way, and we were talking about leadership this morning and how the parents are to lead their children and give them instruction and advice, if you will, or counsel, if you will. And the scripture is saying that we need to give ear or listen to the instruction that our parents given to us. And I can't help but to think back when I was younger, and I don't know how far back I could go to think about that, but you know, when your parents are telling you things, and you know, maybe they're instructing you about a certain behavior or instructing you about a circumstance and what would be the best manners to have or how you would want to conduct yourself the best way, and as a child you hear that, and you know, sometimes you might think that your parents don't really understand. Or they don't really know all of the situation, or you might actually be listening to their counsel or their guiding words with a critical mind, in the sense of saying whether or not you want to heed it or not. And you know, that's just, I think people in general can be like that whatever information is being put out there, that we maybe evaluate this information and we put ourselves in a position to judge all the information on whether or not we think it's appropriate or whether or not we agree, you know. And there might be different reasons for that. You know, like I said, the one reason you might have is maybe they don't really know what they're talking about. Another reason is what they're advising or what they're counseling goes against what I would normally want to do. What they're counseling is kind of contrary to what I want. And so it's very easy for me to maybe be critical of that or to want to try to disregard it in some way or fashion. Another scripture, Ephesians 6 and 1. It says, yes. Some of these children probably know that scripture because their parents want them to know it, right? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And I was thinking about the scripture that I believe we read this morning where Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ, right? And so what we're trying to minister to our children, what we're trying to give them, if we are serving the Lord and we are wanting a life in service to God, we want our children to come along and do the same, the advice that we give them or the counsel that we give them, hopefully, is going to be in accordance to God's Word. And we want it to be in such a way where, follow me as I follow Christ. In other words, it's not me telling my children, do as I say, not as I do, right? That's not the type of counsel or instruction that we're trying to give our children. We want them to do as we do, right? We want to be able to set the example and saying, follow me as I follow Christ. That's where the real strength behind what we're saying is going to come from. But ultimately, like I said, children will have a tendency to want to disregard their parents, especially as they get a little older in years, maybe their teenage years. They start to want to have their own independence for real, and they think they have it all, you know, have all the information they need to have, and they can determine what is good or what is right or what is appropriate for themselves. And hopefully by then, we've been able to instill in our children the Word of God, and not just in a sense of herding cats, right, where they're doing it because we're telling them to do it or because we're on them all the time and we're macromanaging every little thing they do. Don't do this, don't do that, do this, do that. And never actually coming or developing to a way where they own it, you know, and they're doing it because they know it's the right thing to do. And so that's where we're trying to get in this effort of counseling our children. Okay, sometimes children maybe think, yeah, what mom and dad is saying is true, but, you know, I'm an exception to that, you know. That won't happen to me. Well, that's so-and-so down the road. Or that was you, you know, because you might say, well, when I was growing up, this was the experience that I had, and it didn't work out well, and I'm trying to teach you different so that you don't do that same thing that I did, or you don't follow along the same path that I followed. And they'll think in their minds, yeah, that's true, I see that, but that's not me. I can handle it, or I can do this, or I can do that, and it's not going to end up badly for me. And so all of that is just them having a judgment in and of themselves on the counsel or the advice that they're being given. So I want to turn to 1 Kings. First Kings chapter 12, starting in verse 4. This is Rehoboam. His father has passed away. Solomon the king has passed away. And Rehoboam is the one that is supposed to take the throne in his father's stead. And so he's just starting out as the king. And the people came to him. And they entreated him and asked of him some things. And so here we are in verse 4. It says, "Thy father made our yoke grievous." In other words, he was saying, look, Solomon, he gave us a lot of work. He used the people to the brink. I mean, he built a lot of stuff. And I mean, he had a lot of projects going on. And they were probably feeling a little worn out to a degree. And so they're saying, look, your father made our yoke grievous. Now, therefore, make thou the grievous service of thy father and his heavy yoke, which he put upon us, lighter, and we will serve thee. So it's not saying like, look, don't ask us to do anything or, you know, absolve us of all responsibility. But it was mainly they were saying, look, just make it a little lighter. You know what I mean? Your father was really putting a heavy yoke on us, and we just need a little relief from all of what he was doing. And so they're entreating the king, right? And he said unto them, "Depart yet for 3 days, then come again to me." And the people departed. And King Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, and said, "How do ye advise that I may answer this people?" Okay, so here's Solomon. I believe it was Rehoboam, I should say. A very wise thing for him to do. He decides that, okay, I'm gonna consult the older men about this question, about what the people are asking of me. And so he gathers the old men that stood before his father. They were a part of what Solomon had done and ruling over the people, and were understanding of or had experience with possibly what the people are saying as far as the weight of it all and the yoke being heavy. He seeks their advice. And so this is the advice that they gave him. "And they spake unto him, saying, If thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and wilt serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever." So that he's saying, look, this, you need to address the people in a way that's comforting, that you would be willing to serve the people and help the people and listen to the people and receive their concerns and their needs and answer them in comfortable words or good words. So treat them respectably, essentially. And so we go to verse 8. But he forsook the counsel of the old men. You know, we can seek counsel, and it's good to seek counsel. It's good to ask others, especially somebody that's knowledgeable or somebody that's lived a while or somebody that's had experience. You know, it's good to ask counsel of them. But what's the worth in asking the counsel if you're going to refuse it? You know, what's the worth of asking the counsel if you're going to reject it or you're going to do what you want to do anyways? And so essentially, that is kind of what we're going to experience here in these scriptures, is that he sought counsel from the old men, which I think was a wise thing to do because they had experience with the situation. They lived with Solomon, they lived through it, and they understood it better than anybody. And so then he goes on and says, which they had given him, he forsook it, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him and which stood before him. So in a sense, it's like a child, instead of listening to their parents, they go and seek their friends to advise them. And I don't know about you all, but that never worked for me. You know, and if you think about the character that Rehoboam apparently has, you can kind of discern his character based on his friend's response. Right? And so the fact that he immediately rejected the counsel that the old men had given him reflects a little bit about what his character is too. But so he decided to go and ask the young men what they thought. So anytime you want to do something and you need help and you I'll say it like this, sometimes people will seek advice from the ones that are going to give them the advice they want to hear. Have you ever experienced that? And you may have experienced in your own and in yourself, and that you're like, I don't think I want to ask so and so. I already know what he's going to say. You know what I mean? And so you may pick or choose your counsel based on what you want, and that's not necessarily a wise thing to do. I think sometimes it might be beneficial to seek counsel from someone that you may be willing to give you a contrary advice to what you might think, just so that you can have somewhat of a balance as to keeping you in line, so that you're not just going about to get your own way, essentially. So here, the young men, he asked the young men, what do you all think? And he said unto them, what counsel give ye that we may answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, make the yoke which thy father did put upon us lighter? And the young men that were grown up with him spake unto him, saying, thus shalt thou speak unto this people that spake unto thee, saying, thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it lighter unto us. Thus shalt thou say unto them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. So they're coming with a harder, stouter, or stronger rulership. I'm gonna put more of a yoke on you. I'm gonna put more of a burden upon you. I'm gonna rule you with an iron fist, kind of a deal. He's trying to present himself as a, I don't know, you could say maybe like a dictatorship kind of a thing, where I'm gonna run you, and it doesn't matter how you feel about it or what your feelings are, but he's just ruling them with an iron fist, essentially, is the advice that they're giving him. And now, whereas my father did laid you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father has chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day, as the king had appointed, saying, come to me again the third day, And the king answered the people roughly and forsook the old men's counsel that they gave him. And spake to them after the counsel of the young men, saying, My father made your yoke heavy, and I will add to your yoke. My father also chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. And essentially, as we keep reading, we find that he lost his kingdom, basically. And he ended up with, I believe it was one or two of the tribes of Israel after this. And 10 tribes went their way. They said, that's it. We're not going to serve you anymore. We're not going to be a part of this kingdom anymore. We're going to establish ourselves somewhere else, because he had given heed to the counsel, or that wicked counsel, of the young men that were his co-parts or his peers. And they forsook the good counsel that was given unto them of the old men. And so I really believe that we have to be careful when we're seeking after counsel. For one, be careful of ourselves that we're not seeking after some sort of a counsel that's going to give us what we want to hear, or tickle our ears, if we will, or just give you a little push along the path that you already want to take. But to really seek after the right counsel, if you will. What is the truth? What is appropriate or good? And have that be our guide, or have that be what it is that we're striving after. What I was going to say too is, how much experience did those young men have? You know, Rehoboam wasn't all that experienced himself. You know what I mean? As far as being a leader of the people and coming into this position of authority. And so I doubt that his young peers had a whole lot of experience either. They maybe had a lot of information or knowledge, if you will, but they didn't have a whole lot of wisdom. You know, they hadn't seen a lot of things. They hadn't experienced a lot of things, and they definitely didn't see this coming, I don't think, that the kingdom was going to be divided before them as a result of this advice that they gave. And so I don't think they had the experience to warrant the advice that they were giving. Let's go to Acts chapter 20. You know, on a spiritual note, you know, a lot of what we've been looking at is maybe physical counsel or advice that we would have in conducting ourselves, as far as like what kind of job should I pursue, or you know, should I build a house, or should I buy a house, or you know, different decisions that we may have to make in life that aren't necessarily spiritual decisions, but there's a counsel that we can seek after beyond our parents. You know, parents are to instruct their children. They're to give their children counsel. Hopefully they're giving their children counsel based on the Word of God and on the Scriptures. And who do the parents seek counsel from? I would say that they would seek counsel from the elders, perhaps. Spiritual leaders. It says, let the older women teach the younger women, and the men to teach the younger men, and to give them instruction and give them guidance in the way of the Lord. You know, like we were saying, follow me as I follow Christ. I think that's very important that he stated that, is that you follow me as long as I'm following Christ. But if I'm wavering from that, or if I'm not serving the Lord, or if I'm not in the way, then obviously I want you to follow Christ before you follow me. But as I follow Christ, follow me. And so our counsel can be received from our elders, if you will. And so why would we seek after the elders for counsel if we're not going to heed to the counsel that they give us? So Acts chapter 20, starting in verse 26. So this is Paul. He's on one of his missionary trips, and I believe this is one of the last times that he's coming to the city of Ephesus. And it's like a big old parting words kind of a thing. And this is one of the things that he said unto them, as he was getting ready to depart. And he says, "Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." So basically he's saying, look, I've given you everything that I know to give you. I've given you all the counsel that I can give you according to the scriptures. I've taught you all that I know to teach you. I've instructed you in the ways of righteousness. I've delivered unto you the scripture. I've given unto you the path, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I've instructed you about, numerous things that he gave as instruction to the different churches on how to conduct themselves. And he's basically saying, look, I've given you everything that I know to give you in the counsel of God. And he's saying it's not my counsel, but it's God's counsel. It's what God has given it to me to give unto you. And I'm saying that I've given it all unto you. And there's nothing more for me to give you. But then he's also telling them, look, I'm about to leave. I'm not going to be here again. I don't know if the Lord's going to bless me to come back to you all again and be able to do this again and be able to encourage you like I'm doing right now and to remind you of the things that I've taught you, to show you the things that I've instructed you of, to shore you up, if you will. But I'm about to depart, and when I depart, you all are going to be left on your own. And at this point in time, you're going to have to own it. You're going to have what I've given it to you, and you're going to have to take that and run with it. Otherwise, you're going to reject the counsel I've given it to you and do it your own way, and the results are going to be contrary to the blessings of God, essentially. And so he's saying, look, I'm about to depart, but I've given unto you all that I can give you. And I'm leaving it unto you to do with it as you will. Let's go to 2 Chronicles. I'm going to try not to put you all to sleep. 2 Chronicles chapter 24. So, 2 Chronicles chapter 24, starting in verse 1, it says, Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Zibiah of Beersheba. And Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. I think that's very significant what this scripture is saying. It's saying that Joash did all that was right in the sight of the Lord as long as Jehoiada was there. And Jehoiada was the priest, and it was like he took Joash under his wing and he gave him counsel and he gave him instruction, and as long as he was there and Joash was doing what he had told him to do, things were going as they should. And Jehoiada was giving him good counsel by the word of God and was instructing him how to be a king and how to rule the people. And he was giving to him godly counsel. And as long as he was there, it was all going well. But like I believe Brother Dan mentioned this morning in the message, when Jehoiada was gone, or when the cat herder wasn't there anymore, right? Then the cats just went astray. And so if we turn to the same chapter in verse 15, it says, But Jehoiada waxed old and was full of days when he died. 130 years old was he when he died. And they buried him in the city of David among the kings, because he had done good in Israel, both toward God and toward his house. Now, I don't know how many years Joash, and maybe somebody else knows this information, how many years Joash was king and reigned while Jehoiada was there with him. I'm not sure. And I don't know how many years maybe after he passed that he remained king. But So here we have his counselor, his guide, his helper died. All right? And they buried him among the kings because of what he had done and how he had been an asset to the nation of Israel. Now, after the death of Jehoiada came the princes of Judah and made obeisance to the king. Then the king hearkened unto them. And so he went from receiving the advice and the counsel of Jehoiada, and now, as soon as the princes came unto him, now he's giving and listening to them. So here we have Joash as being kind of like a wishy-washy kind of a person, in the sense that he's only following the advice that other people have given unto him. And all those years, I have to assume that it was years that Jehoiada was a guide unto him, it seems to me like he never really got where he owned it himself. Where he came to believe that the instruction and the counsel that he was giving him was much more than Jehoiada's instruction or counsel, but it was higher than that. But it was a godly counsel, a godly guide in how God would have him to conduct his life. And he never owned it in the sense that he believed that those ideas or those principles or those guidings were his own. Where he would say that, yes, I believe this is true. I believe this is right. And this is how I'm going to conduct my life. This is how I'm going to raise my children. This is how I'm going to stand in my life. I won't do this or I won't do that. Not because of what somebody else has said or not because the church recognizes it, but because I know it's true. I know it's in the Word of God. I know that God would have me to live this way. And that's what I mean by owning it. That nobody can be around and you're going to do it still because you know it's the right thing to do and you've owned it for yourself. He never really came to that fruition in his life and all of what the counsel he was able to give him. I'm thankful that he was able to do a lot of good things while his counselor was there to guide him and instruct him. But it's saddening to know that as soon as that counselor is gone, how quickly he went away. And how quickly he went to another path and started to gain advice or counsel from others that didn't have a godly mindset, didn't have a sense of wanting to serve the Lord and do that which was right, but had other alternative motives that they were wanting. And he allowed himself to be guided by them instead of taking control and following after the good counsel that he had been given all those years. And then it gets worse. So, and they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served groves and idols. And wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this, their trespass. Yet he sent prophets to them to bring them again unto the Lord. And they testified against them, but they would not give ear. And so here they had prophets that were sent to them from the Lord that was giving them more counsel or more guidance or more instruction on what God would have them to do, and they rejected it. They rejected God, they rejected the Word of God, and did what they felt was right in their own eyes. And the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, which stood above the people. The son of Jehoiada, the priest. This is Zechariah, which stood above the people and said unto them, Thus saith God, Why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord, that ye cannot prosper? Because ye have forsaken the Lord, he hath also forsaken you. And they conspired against him and stoned him with stones at the commandment of the king in the court of the house of the Lord. And so they killed him. Jehoiada's son, the man that helped Joash all those years and gave him such good counsel and advice and helped him to be a good godly king. And once he died, how soon he turned So much so that he killed the man's son, who was giving him similar counsel and similar guidance and trying to instill in him the word of God, the instruction of God. Don't do this. You're not going to prosper in this. It's not going to benefit you. You're forsaking the Lord our God. But they rejected that counsel and they stoned him because of it. So because he was giving a word that was contrary maybe to what they wanted to do, they killed him for it. Thus Joash the king remembered not the kindness which Jehoiada his father had done to him, but slew his son. And when he died, he said, "The Lord look upon it and require it." You know, that is a very sad thing to think. That he went from doing things well and doing things in accordance to God's will and God's word, and somehow when his godly counselor died, he was left essentially to himself, but he didn't get a hold of those things. And I can't help but to think that sometimes when people go away, that it's not long before it just kind of takes them. And they go a little further and a little further, and before long you can't hardly recognize them. And what really needs to happen is for them to be able to get a hold of it, to see the truth in it, to see the Word of God in truth, and not go about to seek after an explanation of some other kind, because I want to do what I want to do. You know, we were talking about in Sunday school, people who want to identify as this or identify as that, and they want the Word of God to say it's okay. And so they go to the Scriptures and they find things that they can twist or manipulate in one form or another to tell them that they're okay, to tell them that it's right to do, that it's good to do. And it gives them some sort of stability in themselves that strengthens their resolve to continue on in that lifestyle. And I'm sure Joash probably did the same. Somehow he disconnected and allowed himself to think that it was okay what he was doing, and that this was right. And he went against the word of God and killed his friend's son as a result of it. We read Acts. Let's go back to Acts chapter 20. And Paul, where he says, "I've given it to you all. I've given you all that I can give you." And I think there's been many a parent maybe that's done that. It's felt like I've given my children all that I could give them. You know what I mean? I've taught them everything I can teach them. I've given them the Scriptures. I've given them what I know. I've poured it all out to them. And I'm at a loss for what more to do, you know. And they stand in that case. And they know their children are about to go on and have their own lives to live. And they're going to have those things that you taught them and those things that you have instructed them in, and the Word of God that's been their guide or their foundation growing up, that's going to have to go with them. And you're going to have to hope that they take a hold of that and they own it for themselves and they walk in it for themselves, not because that's what they were taught growing up, but because they know it's right and because they know it's true and it's the Word of God. And so that's where Paul is. He's saying, "I've given it to you." And then he says in verse 28, he says, "Take heed therefore to yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." So here he's reminding them, he's telling them, he's like saying, look, watch out, be careful, because I know that after I depart, you're going to have some grievous wolves enter in, and they're going to want to pick apart at the flock, Or they're going to want to pick apart at the things that I've given unto you, the things that I've instructed you in, the things that I've showed you. And they're going to want to manipulate it, and they're going to want to take it another direction, and they're going to want to wreak havoc on this body of believers. And I'm warning you now to give heed. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God. He's saying, I'm giving you to God now, because I'm not going to be here to hold your hand anymore. I'm not going to be here as the cat herder anymore. And so I'm giving you unto God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. And so at this point, by the grace of God, by the mercy of God, I hope that we own it and we believe it, and it's ours. It's not, I know one of the scriptures my wife mentions is it's not the God of our fathers, but it's my God. Amen. It's not the teachings of my parents. It's not the teachings of the church, but it's what I believe. It's my doctrine. It's what God has revealed to be true to me, and owning it to that point where we can live in it according to that. It's beneficial, wise, and good to have counsel, whether it be through our parents, whether it be through those that we know have lived it or have experiences that they've gone through that gives them a little more insight into things, whether it be elders of the church, whether that be men elders or women elders that can guide us in our lives or help us to understand our path. But ultimately, the counsel that we're seeking after, the counsel that we're wanting to govern our lives after, is God's counsel. And so it's not so much just because somebody's old that they have good advice. You want them to have the advice that God would give you. And so we want to make sure that the counsel that we're receiving is godly counsel. And in that, I believe that we can never go wrong if we're following after the counsel that God would give unto us. And I pray that every one of us would represent that in the counsel that we give, that our counsel is that which what God would give, and that we would want it to be in accordance to his word, and that we wouldn't want to teach our children or anyone else anything contrary to the word of God and what God would advise as being right or true or good. Psalms 33 and 11. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. And so that is what we want to live by, is God's counsel. It's what's going to last forever, and it's what's going to get us off into eternity to be with him. And I pray that the Lord would help us to give heed to that counsel, that we wouldn't look on it scrutinizingly and think, well, does God really know everything? Does he really, you know, have it all in control? Or certainly he realizes that I'm an exception to the rule and things like that. I would hope that we would never, ever think to take the counsel of God lightly in that such a way, but rather that his word is the right way and the right path no matter what. Pray for me. I want to live that way.